How can one convene a single conference on the continent of Africa? From the transmission of Ebola to the Arab Spring to the wretched statelessness of the Democratic Republic of Congo and the Central African Republic to the political chaos of South Sudan and Zimbabwe, the complexity of Africa seems to defy a specific policy approach by the United States. And yet, nearly 50 African heads of state will convene in Washington, D.C. today for the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit, a three-day conference focused on U.S. partnership with Africa's fast-growing economic success stories. Among the heads of state not attending is Zimbabwe's defiant dictator Robert Mugabe, who has ruled Zimbabwe since the country gained independence back in 1980. Despite global isolation over his human rights record, Mugabe has managed to turn his country around from the economic crisis of a few years ago. This week, we speak with voices from the African continent about this conference and about the future of Africa and the United States. Tsitsi Jaji is a writer and professor of African and African-American literature at the University of Pennsylvania. She left Zimbabwe back in 1993 and returns regularly to see her family. Tsitsi Jaji, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Would you say it's incorrect for me to refer to Robert Mugabe as a dictator at this point? I said it easily, but he technically is an elected leader, right?
He is. And I do think that Zimbabweans of all stripes made incredible sacrifices in order to have a democracy. We gained independence in 1980, and so Mugabe has been the leader since then. But the war for independence, which was a protracted guerrilla war that involved not only those who served in the armed services, but also farmers, workers, etc., I think people put such sacrifices into gaining majority rule, which was really a struggle for democracy. So I would not personally call him a dictator.
What can you say in your heart you yearn for most for Zimbabwe in the future?
I yearn to see the amazing human capital there, free to realize our gifts. And I think about the fact that the majority of Zimbabweans at the moment work outside of the formal economy. Only 500,000 Zimbabweans have formal sector jobs out of a population of 13 million. So that means that there are millions of adult Zimbabweans who have somehow or other figured out how to exist in an improvised economy, who work in informal sectors, who raise their food themselves, who barter with each other, who have created informal markets for their crafts and things like that. So the fact that Zimbabwe is still on its feet, given the kinds of economic challenges that it faces, to me says that we have incredibly creative and determined people who are having to work in very difficult circumstances at the moment. And if more of those Zimbabweans outside of the country could come back and find real employment or a business environment where they felt confident that they would be able to put their talents and skills to use, I think that Zimbabwe would have an incredibly bright future.
Could you go back home? Could you pick up with your life in Zimbabwe as you left it in 1993 in any way? Give me a sense of what you would do, where you would be.
Well, I left in order to start university studies in the U.S., but when I go back, I feel an incredible joy, which is, I think, what one feels wherever home is. And that is intact. This just real energy of finding ways to make a viable life in very difficult circumstances. And so I feel that vibrancy, not just close to the surface, it's right on the surface. It's what gets people through their days. It's what enriches their lives. It's what makes them masters of joking and of rumor mongering and of this really rich texture of verbal connectedness that to me is one of the defining characteristics of Zimbabwe.
Tsitsi Jaji is a writer and professor of African and African-American literature at the University of Pennsylvania. She left Zimbabwe back in 1993. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, John.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.